Today, so we have all in attendance. Welcome to our guests who are here. First is we'd like to approve those three sets of minutes that are still lingering.
Just January and February?
Okay, so we'll hold on the March 1st. Mm-hmm. So the January 31st and February 15th minutes, we have them here to sign if we approve them. So I'd ask for a motion to approve.
I'll move that.
I'll second it.
Any discussions, corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain. Okay. So after quite a long time with diversion, very, very well time spent, we're moving into disposal. We invited Mark here to specifically speak to us about the current state of disposal that the UCRA is doing, and then we'll go from that point. So I want to put you right on the spot, but if you want to just sort of fill us in on,
sure,
on where things are, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, so currently we are contracted to the end of the year, continue disposal up at Seneca Meadows. And we do about 140,000 tons of MSW total that is being right now trucked up there. In April, we're going to start the RFP process for both transportation and disposal. We typically do disposal first so that we have an idea. I'm looking at processes to try to combine the two and determine whether we're better off instead of doing a regular kind of lowest cost. We do an RFP so that we can look at other things beyond cost, but also we can ensure that we have trucking and disposal companies that are doing the right thing. We can look a little bit more in depth than going straight to a bid. It is professional services. I'm looking at possibly combining the two because I think we need to look at both together. And it's my understanding that they do that in the past. This is typically a 5-year contract. And we'll send it out to the other landfills. There is a list in our local solid waste management plan of various landfills that are in our, beyond our region, but in New York State. And it highlights who would be willing to accept the waste. Albany County is probably the closest, but just over 61 miles. And so evaluating both of them together, and also looking at, I think we need to start looking at a carbon footprint of what it means to send our trucks 1.8 million miles on the road, which is what we travel. So that's disposal in the near term. We are looking at, the previous executive director had put out a statement of interest for alternative technologies for disposal. The agency received 5 proposals of varying quality on that, and so the next step in that process, looking at advanced technologies, would be to again go out to an RFP for long-term solutions. Options in that are a biomass facility, which is also discussed in our local solid waste management plan, anaerobic digestion. Biomass can take a larger percentage of our waste. It's 80 to 90%. Anaerobic digestion is upwards of 60%, and then you take out the recyclables from there, and we're looking at 25%. So once we get through this 5-year period of disposal, I'm not sure, that we're going to be able to change much other than possibly location in the next 5 years. These are long permitting processes, but long term, we may have a lot better solution. And then if we're only looking at 25% of the waste, either doing an in-county landfill or a regional landfill with partners would be a lot better option. Plus, you're taking out all of the organic waste through either anaerobic digestion or other processes. And so what you're actually putting in there, I think, would be a lot friendlier to the host communities than what is currently happening. One nice route with any of these processes is that there's unpackaging equipment that right now with our tipping floor we're just not able to have. So when something comes in and it's probably, you know, 70% of the waste or higher comes in a hefty bag, we're not manually ripping open that hefty bag and determining whether it's organic waste or not. It's not possible. But you can, we could buy unpackaging equipment that shreds the bags, puts all the waste and contents inside together, and then compacts it and processes. Not sure, you know, Mike, I got your voicemail the other day, but that was the first I'd heard that I was being invited to come in and speak at this.
Oh, yes.
I've just been coming to these meetings.
Yeah, so. Last meeting, we had talked, and you said I can sort of brief you guys on it, and that's gotcha. Kind of where I apologize for not
so
being
that's
more
the
formal.
Overview of the briefing.
Yeah, so let me open up to questions, Jeff Tracy.
A few questions. Can you just, when you say you're going to look at transportation and disposal together, you mean one, what does that mean?
Yeah, so we really have to evaluate. We can't just say the disposal costs at Seneca Meadows, for example, are this, and then look at saying what's the cheapest way to, like if that was the cheapest facility.
Oh, okay. So
we can't then look and say what's the cheapest way to transport it there.
Gotcha. No, I wasn't sure if you were saying a one combined vendor, and I'm like,
yeah, that probably wouldn't be helpful. I mean,
yeah.
They would just be basically invoicing us for the haul. You know what I mean?
I totally did. The disposal cost. No,
the tipping fee would be put into the.
Right. It's really what you elaborated on. It's thinking in terms of the carbon footprint as well. The cheapest disposal might not make sense because of the combined cost of transportation, both actual cost and carbon footprint.
And I will say the agency does look at those both combined, but having some kind of quantifier in there on what the cost beyond just, because we also provide the fuel, so that's not as much of a concern. I will mention we are looking at a pilot program, which I believe we're going to move forward on for some local disposal. We met with a company yesterday who had won a NYSERDA award to do, it's called V2 Grid. It's vehicle to grid. So NYSERDA would pay a big portion to set up the infrastructure for EV hauling equipment, like haulers. And we would use like back-end packers. We would look at it for transporting recycling to our transfer stations. And probably just purchasing a couple of those, but it would help build out the infrastructure in the county. One of the questions I asked this company was, if we were to put these stations out for our own purposes in the county to help us get to various transfer stations, would say a school bus or a county UCAT bus be able to use the same charging and like the same charger? And they indicated yes. So this could help us build out that large vehicle charging infrastructure, which I think would then help both the county and school districts.
That's super exciting. Okay, can I ask a second question?
Yeah, go right ahead.
You talked about the alternative technologies, and I know there's proprietary issues right now because of where you're at in that phase, but are you looking at contracting with an alternative technology run by another company, or purchasing the alternative technology?
Yeah, so I mean, I think we're really early stages. The idea of the SOI was to identify companies that were out there that would show interest. We would follow up, and it was a very broad SOI. That basically said any alternative technology. After reviewing the proposals, I think there's a couple that make sense to investigate further. And then once the board, myself, have decided which way to go, or maybe one or two options, we would put a narrower RFP out that would really highlight what the companies are looking for. I'll just tell you, in one of the SOIs, it was like kind of a la carte, like we could do design build, we could do design build finance, we could do design build finance operate, we could do design build finance operate with a 5 to 10 year plan to turn it back over to the RA after training employees. So that it's too early to really look at that. I would say I'm not, you know, I don't think the agency is ready to take any of those options off the board.
And then just the last question for the moment is, you talk about a local or regional landfill for residual, whatever residual is, which I think is a critical component and has been discussed at length in the legislature. How are you looking at that in tandem, the solid waste plan required that that be looked at? And we all know sort of the emotions that surround this discussion.
Yeah.
But at the same at the same time, I would say emotions actually in some regard more than passions, just because it's there's kind of unreasonable reactions.
Right. Which is why I think it's important for the agency to. Right now, we've hired Cornerstone to look at, you know, both the high request report. And there's other tasks like looking at reclaiming old landfills. We're also potentially going to ask them to look further. I mean, right now their scope is those two things. There's other.
What's the first thing?
The HydroQuest study that kind of sparked off all of the Plattekill controversy.
What are they doing with that?
They're reevaluating it and looking at whether there was like 10 properties that were identified that were they're looking at any of those properties make sense to put back on, and also a comprehensive look through the county. Is there other options that weren't part of those 10 properties and closed landfills that might be better options for an in-county landfill?
Yeah. So, okay, I guess it's sort of a question, sort of a comment. I mean, on the one, I want to be certain that that this is moving in tandem or parallel to any alternative technology because of the amount of time that it'll take to make this happen. Like, the longer we forestall a real conversation, because everyone knows that if right now you were to say, this is what we're doing, full stop, we're talking about years in terms of permitting and et cetera, and just the processes of identifying. But I just have to say, and I didn't dig deep in it. I did read the full HydroQuest report, but I didn't dig deep into it. But I have had this debate. The concept that report identified, and there are sitting legislators right now that say that report identified the only properties in the county. It actually borders on preposterous to me. It's like a fantasy film. I don't even know how those sites got chosen. It seems literally like throwing darts at a map of Ulster County and saying, well, we're the size of Rhode Island. I realize I'm speaking to the choir, but I feel like we're still circling around this idea that between the work that Legislator Green and I sat on to, you know, where we did an exercise that just identified large property. It was an exercise. It didn't have any associated value on whether or not those were real sites. And then this dart throwing exercise that this alternative study did, none of that is a real study. None of that's a real sighting. And what I want to just say again is that any realistic siting evaluation, even at its earliest stages, which now in your new role, I think that you are the face of this, has to involve getting the communities to the table for buy-in and discussion about what a host community benefit would be, and what that looks like and what best practices are. And again, I was not yet able to make the call to Oneida Herkimer after the spring break. I'll make sure that happens. But we're partially living in a myth of what a landfill is. Like, I think the work at this table is that everything should be about maximum diversion, so we have the smallest footprint possible, but it's also about self-reliance. And so I just worry about like which step, like which foot goes forward first to make this happen, because I feel, I personally feel like I'm in Groundhog's Day, like this is the fifth table I'm at like this, where we have the choir at the table and we have the conversation and then nothing happens. And for me, that's 20 years. Yeah. You know, for Mana, that's 30 years.
And Jim is 40.
So, yeah, so like at some point, yeah. We actually have to get a real ball rolling that really gets the stakeholders, which are the municipalities, among others, but most critically to the table, because that's the only thing that's going to stop this NIMBY and emotional, passionate reaction that's not based in any fact.
Can I just
respond? Yeah, go ahead, Mark. Yeah.
And it's the reason why, after kind of having preliminary conversations with Cornerstone and on the work that's been done today, I decided that we needed a bigger, like a more comprehensive review, because there are limitations to that study and there are limitations to prior reclamations of landfills. So, I mean, the reality is that we are a county the size of the state of Rhode Island, but also a big portion of that of this county is state land, is city land, areas where we know that we're not going to be able to site a landfill. So I would say the HydroQuest study was more than just throwing darts.
Yeah,
I mean, they took,
it's fair, but
and so they took all of the restrictions. They took the you can go through, and they're citing regulations on why they're taking sites out. And this is a highly regulated, highly restrictive permitting process. So, but I think we have to move in parallel tracks, because if we just go out there and we site an in-county landfill that's this big, and then in 5 years we're diverting and we only need this size, then we're not looking at sites that could have been, instead of looking at 100 and 200 acres, we could be looking at sites for 50 to 60 acres that might get us 20, 30, 40 years or more.
Right.
So we have to look at both. We have to start looking, what can we divert so that this landfill can be as small as possible. I agree
with all
of
that.
Yeah, let me get Amanda. Well, if you don't mind, I think we all have questions, so I'm just going to go around the table. So
just
we'll let Amanda go next.
Two brief
and then
things. Does your follow-up study with Cornerstone have kind of that almost like scenario footprint analysis?
I've asked them to shrink the, like anything before was 100 plus.
Okay.
I've asked them to look at more along the lines of a minimum of 50 to 60.
Is that based in any kind of like state guidance? Like, is other than our aspirations to have a smaller landfill, because there's so much space that's required for leachate collection, for ancillary roads, for buffers, for your trash fence, you know, all that kind of stuff. Is that, are there, it seems like there should be a ratio between the site size and then your acreage footprint for the actual landfill cells, and then how much capacity you can have in the landfill. And I was just kind of wondering, like a little more, other than shrinking it, like what does that mean for the actual volume that could be landfilled there? That's one thing. The other thing, when just thinking about HydroQuest versus a wider evaluation or a siting study, I look at the HydroQuest study, and although it does talk about regulations, it's primarily a hydrogeologic study,
right,
suitability study. And when you think about a full landfill siting study, it's both the engineering and things like, you know, footprint and all the ancillary things that have to go along with the landfill, and all the things that go into a seeker analysis. Trucking, noise, roads, neighbors, everything like that. So I think sometimes I'm like, this is a hydrogeologic screening. It's not a fuller engineering or seeker evaluation of the site instead. So
and I'll just add, I mean, Cornerstone is one of the bigger engineering firms, you know, Tetra Tech is who they're doing a lot of the work with, they are heavy in the waste industry.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I wasn't around when HydroQuest. I don't know what their qualifications were, but I think to your point, it was more geological.
HydroQuest is run by a hydrogeologist.
Right.
He's very specialized. He's very good at hydrogeology, but not like.
And there was a hydrogeologist on the board at the time, and so that was a lot of the focus. I just want to jump back because I remembered what I wanted to talk about. As far as regionalization, some of the roadblocks around Gus, my understanding is that Sullivan wanted to know what we were planning on bringing there and what the plan was. And I think at that time it wasn't as known. There was concerns on what was going to happen to some of the waste, and so that's what staff said. That was some of the concerns. That
I mean, I was at the table. So was Manna. Sullivan was not interested in accepting any waste at all.
I think it was they were because they didn't know what waste was happening. Again, if there was more diversion, at least this was maybe it was bad conversations with the agency, but. Like, they had concerns of what was being sent there, and so maybe that was their stance, like, we don't want to take anything, and that may still be their stance, but, a lot of the work that I will be doing over the next few months is really trying to, Gus was great at that time, that was the partners that were there. There is a lot more counties in our region that are looking for waste solutions. I mean, Orange County built a $50-60 million landfill that is basically a hole in the ground to this day, has never been utilized. They need waste. Westchester is their incinerators are up for permits in the near future, and they may be looking for alternative waste. Dutchess County's incinerators at end of life state, and they may be looking for partnerships. So the idea that, I mean, this is Gus 2.0, much
larger. Can we just
get
on the record what Gus is? I know that it's
Green
Ulster Sullivan, but I think people reading this and just looking at the minutes are going to have no idea. Thank you.
So, about 10 years ago, a study of regionalization, having a regional landfill, Green County, Sullivan County, Ulster County came to the table, went pretty far in the process, and at that time, whether it was political wins or whatever, it didn't move forward.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda,
I'm going to work backwards. In terms of Gus, one of the obstacles is that there's different structures. Some are supervisors, associations, or whatever, board of supervisors, and we have a legislature. They're different taxing structures, so it would be complicated, not impossible. But what I want to say that I love the idea of electric vehicle transportation from our hub and spoke structure to bring materials to the. To the RRA, but I didn't hear that they would be generated by on-site solar. So given that we have a parallel process right now to achieve 70% renewable energy generation, if you're going to increase the load by adding electric vehicles, I want that to be a net. I would hope it would be a net zero in terms of putting enough solar on site so that you're not further burdening the grid and increasing the load. In the solid waste plan, there was included in disposal rail export, and I think that has to be looked at. I don't think that's a solution, but it is in the solid waste plan under disposal. And whatever else is in that plan, I think we have to look at. And then the main thing I am concerned about is the idea of each technology be looked at not just in terms of financial costs, but in terms of greenhouse gas emissions. So, for example, I think we need to find some way to reliably assess greenhouse gas emissions from a new landfill, and I completely agree that a smaller landfill, for various reasons, should be considered. But methane release from a or methane capture in a landfill versus any emissions that might come from autoclaving or pyrolysis, or in other words, with a climate crisis, we can't just be looking at cost. We have to be looking at greenhouse gas impact. And as far as I'm concerned, any government funding, and I consider the agency a form of government, should be doing a greenhouse gas inventory and not just looking at cost in terms of dollars. And let me just see. Yeah, I think those are my main points, and we can discuss them more, but I really like the idea of reducing our carbon footprint in Ulster County by going to electric vehicles, and I think there's funding for that.
Yeah. We'll go to the other board members, and then I'll go last, so go ahead.
So I sympathize, you know, all these years with Groundhog Day, but now we have an opportunity because so many things are coming together, so many contracts. We're ending so many contracts the same year, and there's pressure on us. And for the first time since I've been a board member, there's high-level attention being brought to this situation so that there is an opportunity here. I'm a little concerned. I think this five-year period that we have before us can lay the groundwork for setting up the reduction infrastructure that we need. So I would, you know, as a board member, I don't want us to go beyond a five-year contract, but I understand the need for it, obviously. But that gives us the chance to get maximum diversion in place. I'm concerned about alternative technologies, and I can say this because it was in a public meeting. Waste Away came with this sort of dream where they would come in and they would own all our waste and they would solve our problem for us by autoclaving, and I forget, anaerobic digestion. And what they wanted was the natural gas out of that. That was their plan, was they would lay out $60 to $65 million, build a plant, and then sell the natural gas. And they were psyched for it. And they were like, yeah, we can do this. You don't have to worry about it. We'll run it, or we'll, you know, they had any option we wanted. But what they couldn't answer was what happens with the stuff at the end. They turned theirs, they said, oh, it's organic potting soil. And Margot Beck was like, what's the substance? What's the chemical makeup of it? And he went, well, no one's ever asked that question before. But we did, and they never gave us an answer. Like, we officially said, all right, before we go any further, tell us, you know, analyze this stuff. They never got back to us. So I'm very concerned with any of these magic technologies, what we do with what comes out the other end, because we're going to have stuff. And it's the Waste Away product needed all our organics to burn. So we would lose all that compost. We would lose all that material into what essentially at best is sterile and which might well be toxic, you know, at least tainted. So I think what we really need to do is use our five-year opportunity to maximize diversion, set up, you know, all this infrastructure that we're going to need to do so, because, you know, it's complicated, but it's not rocket science, and, you know, we'll be able to do that. And as far as a GUS or some sort of GUS, I'm a little concerned about asking the agency to represent the county, because if we have county officials from Orange and Sullivan or anyway, you know, maybe even county executive level, and then, you know, Regis is sick, and so I have to go and represent the county. It doesn't seem like the right setup. So that's just something I would think about. If we're going to do something regional, as everybody here probably knows, I have advocated for the county to take over the RRA because of reasons like this. Because, you know, the executive has clout that the chairman of the RRA can never have, and has the authority to enter into broader sort of overview, can use the entire county apparatus in a way that the RRA cannot. So I'm very encouraged by what's happening here. Overall, just very, very encouraged by what we're hearing. But I'm just raising these for the board, you know, for the commission and you to consider as we move forward. I don't have any questions. I think you did a good job, you know, briefing us. But those are my thoughts based on what I heard. Thanks.
Chair, I don't have anything to add at this
time.
Okay. I don't need to hear myself talk.
Okay. A couple questions that I had, Mark, is the permitting process for a smaller landfill a different process or a different estimated time frame, or is it just it's a little bit less than it's still the same process? And that, you know, that's I'm really encouraged to hear that idea of the smaller landfill, but you know, in the back of my mind, and this is freely admitted, it's a completely made up number, I think you're looking at a minimum of 12 years or greater to get through the hurdles to create a new landfill.
Yeah. So 20 years ago, it was 10.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it there is not a difference in permitting. I mean,
okay.
Maybe some of the review and technical review might be slightly less, but it's not like they're looking at a smaller footprint, so you don't have to have all of the
right.
same requirements.
Right.
It's the same permitting process.
And I think the stigma that's attached to a landfill, when people hear that, they picture, you know, not to throw them under the bus, but like the Staten Island Fresh Meadows pictures you see of just this massive pile of garbage, and that's not what current landfills are. The older ones maybe were, but there's a lot of PR involved with this, admittedly, and that's where I think the county and the UCRA and the communities need to sort of partnership. But right now you get these roadblocks of, you know, I don't want that in my backyard. So that hurdle is always going to exist. And in order to get any community buy-in, that's a major hurdle that's got to be jumped. But I love the idea of the smaller one. I love the idea. I don't know which landfills could be reopened. I mean, personally, I know what we have to go through with the DEC every year still with monitoring of ours. I don't know if ours could be or couldn't be opened up. I honestly have no idea. I've just always assumed that they couldn't be. But I agree we need to find something closer than Seneca Meadows, because that's my next question. Do we have a rough idea, and I don't mean to put you on the spot, but of cost of what it's costing us to forget the carbon footprint, just dollars and cents, the cost to truck all that there?
Yeah, it's $10
million. $10
million,
that's what I thought. Yeah, yeah.
So mixed between shipping fees and transportation.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's really encouraging to hear, and apologies again. My misunderstanding is Liz reminded me that you said you would be here, and I said, oh, okay. And so I put you on the agenda the way I did, and did not mean to put you on the spot, and thank you for being so forthcoming on such short notice. So yeah, go ahead, Tracy.
Thanks. Just circling back to two things. One, just wanted to make the point in terms of landfill siting, both I think probably with the HydroQuest study and definitely with the exercise that we did in the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission. My understanding that in both of those investigations, I know for sure with the Solid Waste Management Improvement Commission, we were looking at sole owner property sites. Like if the limitation was 100 acres.
Yeah, so I'll just tell you HydroQuest didn't. HydroQuest, one of the two sites in Plattekill that they moved forward would have required require the agency to purchase 10 plus parcels.
Okay, so that's good. I just wanted to make sure that in any investigation that we don't put that artificial limitation. And then I'm sure you've already started to do this, but if you look back at the reports from GUS and the reporting on GUS, and again, I'm right now in part going from memory from having gone to those meetings and gone to those sites. Where Gus really finally landed had nothing to do with a landfill or local disposal of waste. It had to do with actually maximizing our bargaining power for a lower tipping fee at Seneca Meadows. And some of the analyses that came out spoke to that specifically. My recollection of Sullivan is that, and my recollection from firsthand conversations, was that they talked about the great controversy of having their local landfill and the closure of one of their local landfills and no interest in reopening it. And my recollection, which I just confirmed by Googling, is that at that time of the investigation, Ulster County was the only one operating on even or black. The other two were not in good financial situation, which was some of the pushback locally, was that Ulster, we were actually, had we done what was proposed, we would be, our residents would be paying more, and the residents of Green and Sullivan would be paying less for essentially the same thing, which is why so many of us got so frustrated with the discussion, because while we had initially been talking about it being, looking at the three to maximize a space in one of the three counties, it became maximizing a bargaining power. So I just would challenge you to look back and not necessarily rely on employee memories. But the other thing I want to say about Gus is that I just feel, and again, this is from my tenure in the legislature and hearing colleagues in the legislature, I feel like Gus sometimes is, and this isn't directed to you, this is now a statement to this body, Gus is sometimes used as a scapegoat for, and this was very much the conversation with the HydroQuest study and the overreaction to the Plattekill sighting that wasn't a Plattekill sighting, that then we got a, you know, a no landfill and Plattekill reaction from the legislature. Gus is used as a kind of scapegoat, like, yes, we want Gus, we want a regional landfill. The subtext to that is not in Ulster. We want a regional landfill in Sullivan, you know, and it's like, and I say that in a snarky mode because it's, of course everyone wants a landfill somewhere else. Like, ask Sullivan if they want it. Again, I'm not talking to you, you just this is like that. And so I think we have to really be thinking about local responsibility with that residual waste, whatever that residual waste is, because of what all of us expect is coming. And any conversation with regional partners needs to meet them equally.
Just real. So yeah. Who else abutting Ulster is flow control? Because that's going to change the whole, what they come to the table with.
Well, let me just also tell you that the Gus analysis recommended that it would be flow control for Gus, like recommended flow control legislation for Green, Ulster, and Sullivan. And I think that would end also assumed no outside waste, because the downfall of Sullivan's, if you look into the history of Sullivan's landfill, what happened was Sullivan opened a landfill and then Sullivan opened it to the highest bidder and filled it with outside waste. So they learned from that, and we obviously have learned from it too. And I think that regardless of whether our abutting counties have flow control, any partnership would require flow control and limiting it to the members of whatever the organization is. But again, I just feel like Gus becomes a lazy synonym for putting it somewhere else.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Tracy.
Yeah, what the practice has been.
Gotcha.
Two things. I want everyone to remember, I was not on the board when the HydroQuest study was done. Okay, I had nothing to do with that. And when I saw it, I thought it was so ridiculous. We all did, so that's why we just never touched it, which is then it was leaked, and that's how it became an issue. But it was not something that was ever seriously considered. And two, one thing that about Waste Away, they probably, to make it work, would have to import solid waste. And I think that might be the case with a lot of these proprietary things. So that's something to keep in mind. They need a lot to run those things. and get the volume of natural gas that they would make them profitable.
But you're not going to have, and Wasteaway is not one of the, I mean, I'm just, since we put it on the record, it's
well, they were, it was the, a public meeting, so we
right,
can put it on the record.
That's not one of the, when I look at the SOIs, I don't right. look at that and say that's the
right, which
go.
Is why I'm citing but, them, because they're, yeah, but anyway, go ahead.
But, I mean, I think, yes, to your point, any kind of the advanced technologies need a lot of throughput. I will say from my research to the digest state that comes out of many of these anaerobic digestion systems, and by the way, they're like one of the only things that's being permitted in New York State right now. They're out in the West. Like, you know, conversations are that pyrolysis is not something that is acceptable to the CLCPA and other types of alternative methods, but the thing with a type like either biomass or anaerobic digestion is that it's a product that you can sell similar to compost. And so it's not coming in and just sitting somewhere. You're not gonna fill up that anaerobic digestion like you would a landfill. So I think it makes sense to restrict, like if there was a regional landfill or even an Ulster County landfill, it would make sense to restrict the inside, you know, only taking whatever is inside that flow control to that landfill because it's gonna fill up eventually. If you have advanced technologies, then what is left over, there will be a small percentage that will need to go to the landfill. But again, you're getting renewable natural gas, so it's not a fossil fuel, which is highly valued by the APA and others. It's renewable energy. Because you can produce it, and you're not mining it from the ground. And so you're getting renewable natural gas, and you're getting a digestate, which is very similar to the agricultural community as compost.
But it's not compost. And until we see some kind of analysis of what it is and what it can be used for, I would not use the word compost in connection with what comes out of that. Because
no, and
even
I,
the
yeah,
people
it's
that
digestate.
Waste away. Yeah, yeah, digestate. And their whole product was, well, we are going to use this as sterile potting soil. So that was their solution. They sold it as potting soil, and they said, well, it's sterile, you know. So I'm concerned when I hear about that if we take all our organics and use them to turn it into natural gas, then we don't have something to make compost. And I think in this region, we're going to need compost. With the climate crisis coming, we're going to have to feed ourselves. We're going to need as much farmland, we're going to need as much compost as possible. And so I don't want to take one of our best resources and sell it to a natural gas company, frankly.
Renewable.
Go ahead, Mary.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Mary.
Renewable natural gas still gets burned. So, you know, what you're essentially doing is, if it's organic matter, one way or another, it took carbon dioxide and sequestered it in trees or food or other materials. And if you do a process and release it, or burn it rather, you're still putting it back into the atmosphere. That's why I'm asking for a greenhouse gas analysis on anything that is being considered. And for just bear with me for a moment, for the sake of our report, I was thinking from this conversation that in terms of disposal, we would look at all the alternatives that are in a sense pre-processing, and there are others that have been discussed at various different meetings over the years, and I'll be glad to add to that list. So the pre-processing, the alternative to just recycling and other forms of waste diversion and landfilling, there are but some ways to pre-process that will still end up with a residual in perhaps a smaller landfill. And then the question of regionalization, I think that's a topic. And then than actually looking at landfilling. And I'd like landfilling to include the concept of reclaiming an existing landfill, the idea of a smaller size, but also a monofill at the landfill for things like the wide variety of plastics, only a fraction of which we are currently recycling. There may be something very valuable and marketable to do in the future with the pill bottles and the, you know, I won't even go into that list, but we've already talked about how much plastic there is that has not, that is not currently marketable. And mixing it in with everything is a lost, what do they call it, opportunity cost. But if you can separate that material and put it into a lined landfill, so, and I do think we should look at the idea of, I said this already, but you know, seeing if there are sites that could be mined and put through a process and that space reused or extended. I'm just hoping that'll help us organize that section.
Yeah, exactly. That was where, once we were done hearing from Mark, I think Tracy had one more question. Otherwise,
then
my next...
I'm okay.
Yeah. So my next sort of thing is, well, first, let me sort of turn it back to you, Mark. In a perfect world, and we said this once before you were coming to the meetings regularly, forget about cost, forget about, in a perfect world, what does the UCRA need from the county to pursue these ideas of disposal? I mean, I just want to sort of get that into our report. I don't want to just be a report from our side. I want it to also be from your side. So, and if you need to think about it and come back to us on that, that's fine.
I don't think that I would be prepared to speak on that.
And that's fine.
If I could just really stress, though, to this commission to not throw away ideas of alternative technologies. The ideas that a landfill doesn't cause carbon, that methane's not getting produced and going out into the, like, aerobic digestion as well has its own carbon footprint. And so landfilling has a carbon footprint. And so I would just not be dismissive of looking at other ways. We're not going to recycle our way out of our waste crisis in this country, in this county. Like, it is not possible to do that.
I agree.
And so we have to have an open mind.
Well, but a landfill can be constructed with a methane capture system.
You can, but there's always going to be somewhat, I mean, there's always going to be things that escape.
And that's why a valid greenhouse gas inventory will sort that out.
Yeah, and if the WARM model, I think that's the really accepted one from EPA, where, you know, it's a big spreadsheet and calculator, and you can slice and dice things a lot of different ways. But it gets to that, even with methane capture, landfill gas collection, there is a lot of fugitive emissions, so.
And Mark, if I gave the impression that I have a closed mind, I don't, but I'm very skeptical from years of watching big companies come in with their ideas about what they say.
Yeah,
and if I could just, it's actually perfect to follow Jim, because if I could add in terms of just put on the record, my skepticism related to technologies, particularly technologies that are associated with for-profit companies, is actually what you touched on earlier, is that these technologies, from my understanding and experience, require feedstock. So it creates this vicious cycle. It's the same thing with the burn facility across the river, like they need feedstock. So there's almost a disincentive to divert because you need volume. And that creates its own kind of vicious cycle to keep things running, keep things moving. So that's just something that, again, the Oneida Herkimer to Manna's point, Oneida Herkimer's site is capturing their methane and utilizing it in the neighboring community, so it'll be something that we see when we take the trip as well. But obviously, we're all vested in as much diversion as possible.
Could I take a step back? And I wasn't saying you're having a closed mind, but when it comes to our composting capabilities, we have a permit for 5,000. We're in the process of working with the DEC to increase that. We are at our limit of that 5,000. If by 2030, as the county executive has stated, there's a goal or a mandate to divert 100% of organic waste, that will blow up that capacity. And I would say, looking at our current footprint facility, other parcels, we could maximize about 10,000 tons of food waste incoming. So that could double our operations. But again, if we're looking at getting inside those bags, if we're looking at diverting as much as we can outside of the landfill, that's going to be much greater than 10,000. And I don't know how much the private sector, there are a couple others that are out there that are collecting compost. They're nowhere near our capacity or our capabilities. It would take, several more community composts. And I don't mean to say community compost because that's a company. There would take several more composting companies in communities to be able to handle the type of organic waste diversion that we're talking about.
Okay, so I'll get March 1st, and then I'll get Tracy.
Decentralize it. We are not going to put it all over there. And in fact, I do think you're getting customer and neighbor complaints right now on odor that is going to be a huge problem for anything you guys want to move forward on, any proposals. So I would just urge deep conversation with the neighbors that are complaining right now on the compost side. And I want to say I personally am coming to the table with no technology ruled out, no option ruled out, because every single opportunity that we're talking about comes with negatives, including the whole diversion side. There's a lot of work and there's carbon impact just from the diversion side. So I'm not coming to the table with any particular technology or solution ruled out. And I've been sitting here listening, and this has actually been a great conversation. I'm so really honored to be sitting with people who've been thinking about this problem way longer than I have. And I just want to urge caution that we don't, sort of going back to what Tracy was saying, we don't take these stories about what happened in the past, say with regard to us, and take for granted the narrative that is there today about it, because we're going to have to look at under every rock right now.
Yeah.
And take a fresh look at it. And I appreciate that the agency is doing that in bringing Cornerstone on. So as a start.
Yeah, Tracy, and then.
So two things. On compost, when Legislator Green brought forward the county's compost law, Deputy Executive Laval, who was then the head of the Environment Department, did a deep dive. We had multiple meetings, and it really sticks in my memory, the example of the state of Vermont and their success in legislation that had long lead time, and then knowing that it was coming, built out the private sector, filling the gap you're talking about. And it's an example that is absolutely working in a giant rural state, and working down to, it's legislated down to every individual homeowner and consumer. So there's a model that can work, and I think Comptroller Gallagher is right. You shouldn't be thinking in terms of diversion means that the agency has to take it on fully. I want to pivot to where you were going to say that you asked Mark to weigh in on what the agency would need. And one thing, this is the time, this is the place, this is the section where we're going to have to investigate and discuss the county legislation that co-opted the bonding authority. And that's a real, again, I have raised questions at this table and elsewhere about the legality of that move, but it's something that's going to have to be discussed in this report in relation to an autonomous agency being able to make really big decisions with really big financial impact without political input. And I think that this report would be remiss to not touch it. So,
right.
And I'm not saying we're going to, I'm just bringing
right.
it up.
Right, that would go in with the intergovernental, or is it more about disposal?
It's both, but because I think that anything we're talking about with disposal is going to have a significant financial impact.
Okay.
And then just for the record, partially to be funny, but partially just to be real, you know, I come to the table with mostly no preconceptions and mostly an open mind, because if we start down the road of a burn facility, I think several of us will like lose our minds here. Like that's the one thing that I feel like I'm just going to say that I do have a preconceived notion about, and from having visited multiple things.
So
you know, I know you were.
I think any criteria of reason will screen those out. But I did want to say, we've talked about this several times at this table about the bonding authority. I don't think there's anybody here who feels like the cap and limitation is appropriate. And I personally would like to make a motion at this table today, right now, that we include in our report that cap be removed.
That what?
The bonding authority cap that is in place on the agency. I think make a recommendation in this report that we remove, that we are recommending to the legislature to remove the bonding authority cap.
I agree, having been there. I have to actually look back and see how I voted.
Yeah, I was going to ask if we could, because I'm not familiar with the background of it totally. Yeah, I don't disagree with the statement, but I think absolutely, we've all said several times already that the bonding will be a part of our report.
Can we include this as an agenda item in our next meeting?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'll be prepared for some background, because I know it was not initially in the county contract, and it was amended.
Right.
It happened under John Hardy's
when
leadership.
John was there, so.
It was amended by the legislature to try to close the gap between the agency and the legislature.
No, I was here then. It was amended by the legislature via resolution. That's why I say I'm not even sure that it was legal. But it was done out of a real spirit of distrust of the agency to put control over the agency, to say, we don't want the agency to have the authority to do anything they want, because that will result in a higher net service fee.
Do you know sorry, I was going to ask if you know the time frame, so we could ask maybe if Liz could get us the...
I was here, so yeah. It's like
I do
want...
the latest championship?
No, I think it was in...
At the time, it was
the...
It's not urgent at the moment, but if we can send... Liz can share the document with all of us so we can all be more familiar. Yeah.
So I understand, you know, that it was used to control the agency. I see other methods for the county to facilitate a relationship with the agency, including the contract between us, amendments to the solid waste management plan, as well as laws that we have and have adopted and may adopt in Ulster County with regard to flow control and other materials. So I think there are other methods that of promoting and asserting county priorities that do not handicap the agency in its functionality, and that's where really the spirit of where I'm coming from. I understand there could be disagreements about that, but I do feel that it really was a communication of distrust of the agency, and I personally met this table feeling that we still see tremendous value in an independent agency, and they should be empowered within the boundaries of those other agreements, documents, and laws. You know, solid waste management plan, contract with the county, and local laws around particular types of waste and flow control.
Okay. So, oh, yep.
And I would just add that a part of that conversation probably needs to, we probably need some legal advice, because the agency is governed by state law related to public authorities law. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, you could put, in theory, you could put anything in a contract, but the autonomous nature of a public authority, I've always felt like I'm not sure if we crossed a line, even if it was a mutually consensual line, because at that time, the director of the agency consented. There was this feeling. The agency at that time didn't want the responsibility of, the agency wanted the legislature to take responsibility, and the legislature, you know, so it was a mutually beneficial moment, but
would it
I'm
make
just
sense,
not sure about the legal.
Since we're an advisory committee, would it make sense, we can certainly put any advisement in with a caveat that, you know, before such is implemented, that it be reviewed?
No, I
or
would
do
like
you think we
should
get the legal advice?
I think we should
advice.
Ask
it has
for
to
the
be
legal
approved.
Analysis.
Anything we recommend goes to energy and environment. Has
agreed.
To be approved by the whole legislature.
Understood. Yes. But that's you just were making the point I was trying to make. What I was saying, instead of us seeking the legal advice,
I want us to seek the legal
okay.
advice.
Yeah, because otherwise,
I don't want
before
us to
making
yeah,
the recommendation,
because yeah. otherwise our decision, our recommendation, is sort of unfounded on fact
and weakened. You know,
yeah.
like
okay.
overall,
yeah.
we're weakened.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, all our recommendations are going to be debated and reviewed by, as Manager of Energy and Environment, and ultimately the whole legislature. So that was my only thought, is that rather than us seeking legal advice, but I'm happy to do that. So yeah.
The bonding authority cap is the issue, is the legal question. Was and is a bonding authority cap legally permissible
mm-hmm.
and viable?
Yeah.
Us making a recommendation to remove that cap does not require a legal opinion.
That,
so,
I'm in agreement with that. Yeah.
I do think it would be instructive to have guidance on whether or not that type of restriction on the agency is even usable,
yeah.
legally possible.
I guess what I don't want to hold up our report while we wait for legal advice, and otherwise we would only be able to go to the county attorney, who I'm told are already understaffed and overburdened, and
legislature has counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also counsel. Our executive director is an attorney and can at least, you know, maybe I'd like to hear what you think about that.
Sure. I mean, I think, so just to help with research, it was September 23rd, 2015 is
Thank
when
you.
It was. It was added in as amendment to our contract. So the contract, as you read it, it's Ulster County is contracting with the agency to implement the solid waste management plan, to create and implement the solid waste management plan. Then in 20, no cap or a much larger cap, I gotta do a little bit more research. But then in 2015, the cap was added to the contract. So from a legality standpoint, I probably think, and it wasn't that it was anything over 500,000 requires legislative approval. From a contract standpoint, I think you can probably do that. And it probably is legal. I know where I would include this section for your recommendations is talking about, I'm assuming there's going to be a section in about the county contract that is
absolutely
set to expire
yeah.
in March of 2025, and this will be definitely one of the points that I raise in negotiations with the agency, you know, through the agency with the county in doing something with this cap. But it would be in that section that...
I'm sorry. Were you finished, Jim?
I was just going to say, as I understood Tracy's question, can the legislature impose something like that the ABO? Will that allow, you know, can the legislature, can the county say, no, we don't want you to do this, but we're an independent agency. So did I understand that question
yes.
correctly?
Yes. I mean, twofold. Well, yes, you did, because what I'm saying is I still want a legal analysis of whether, even through contracting, a public authority could limit its bonding authority through contract. Like that's the first thing, because by that definition, it's not autonomous. The agency's not acting in an autonomous way. So I want to know that that's legally sound. But it's more than just the contract. I believe I recall passing a resolution. I recall voting on a resolution that that wasn't just the contract. Now I could be wrong. That's a long time ago, but we'll have to do the research, because I think the legislature passed a resolution limiting, and then it was put into the contract.
Was that? And I'm just remembering back the history. And was that a reaction to the? And I apologize, the terminology is not coming into my head, but the fee that the county was paying the RRA every year,
that service fee was that.
Resolution, a reaction to the rising net service fee that you remember?
The net service fee,
because in that time frame, the net service fee was substantial.
We haven't asked for a net service fee since 2012.
Yeah,
okay,
say,
thank you. Okay, okay,
so.
Fair enough. I didn't know
the
time frame.
But the rationale was they haven't asked for a net service fee since flow control was implemented, and that's had some negative impacts on enforcement. But the rationale was that if the bonding were something that the agency thought it needed, and it caused the budget to require a net service fee, it would come back to the legislature.
Okay, so it was sort of tied to the net service fee. I vaguely remember the conversation that was going on at the time, but I don't, you know, not being in the room, I don't totally remember. So, is there anything else? And then I wanted to sort of move into other types of disposal that we would like to explore as with our body.
Just, Mark, I would like to connect with you after this about that contract, because
yeah.
I'm not seeing any 2015 amendment.
I'm not seeing it.
No.
I'm asking Tim.
Yeah.
And I think that it might benefit, you know, sure, we'll provide that to circulate, but it
right.
might even benefit, you know,
to
we can
have
do a timeline.
Exactly.
It's
you
the
know.
Fifth Amendment to the contract. That's
and that's
what
not
I'm
in the new world.
May not be. We were at that time, that's when we were transitioning to 2014-2015.
Did you see the resolution, Amanda?
No, I've just been looking at New World, which I think is the same thing.
So we have about 15 minutes left. Do we want to... We've really sort of, almost sort of, this is a segue into the next topic. I don't want to just... dismiss disposal, though. We've done a really good conversation here. I guess my question from this body is, are there other types of disposal or other things that we want to discuss as a body to make sure they get in our report? Yeah.
We do not have any disposal companies at the table. We talked about this at the very beginning of our meeting, that there are people with businesses that are dependent on this industry, and we have not heard from them at all. I don't know the best way to do that, but I do feel like, and I understand that their interest is obviously to protect their profit and their business, but I do feel like we are at the place where we might want to get feedback or have our ears open or invite others to the table. I'm not sure, but I just throw this open to the body. We did talk about that at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this committee has no one from the industry on the committee, and I don't know if they have sort of an industry association that might be worth bringing to the table, but I do feel like that, you know, I personally am not ready to move away from disposal without some sort of conversation.
Agreed.
There.
The Recycling Oversight Committee is more inclusive, and Laura is not able to be here, but we could invite the representative, because that representative is current, and I believe that's one of the few positions on the Recycling Oversight Committee that is
active.
That committee, though, I sat on it until recently and is almost all but disbanded. I hate to say it that way, but it's the last couple meetings, there have only been two people of the entire committee.
But it was created by law, not just by resolution.
No, understood. I'm not disagreeing with that.
I think that we should bring this to the chair of the legislature. It needs those positions.
It actually was just recently, actually, at the Supervisor Association meeting, because I announced that I had stepped down because of a time commitment issue with the meeting time, that I was no longer available. I was searching for another person from the supervisors to take my place, and Chair Criswell was at the meeting and is going to investigate how to sort of re-energize that committee, and pretty much it's the only two people left that are showing up regularly are Mayor Noble and former Legislator Petit, and the rest of the group has more or less stopped attending. So yes,
if there was an appointment to the committee, though, that is industry based, perhaps
we can reach out to that person. Yeah, I'll find out who it was.
Make an invitation, and then also maybe back through the agency. I don't know if we want to open the agenda for a period of time at our next meeting, but that would be my suggestion.
Well, what I would do is send an invite to that person and see if at our next meeting they can come, or the following meeting. We always could move to another topic, and if they couldn't come next meeting, bring it back to them. So yeah, Joe.
I'm just thinking of the diversity of solid waste disposal options. We have small composting operations. We have Lamella, just to pick a name. And then we have...
Can you just say what that...
Lamella is a small sanitary... I guess it's... I don't know if it's still in Clintondale or where. Yeah.
Okay.
But, so my point is, there's not one person who can come here and give us, like, you know... They can help, but there's so much diversity, and there's diversity growing. You know, we have Greenway is doing composting. You know, they take farm waste and they compost it. So there's
a
lot.
I think we were talking about haulers of the disposal, not diversion.
It's kind of disposal because they're taking solid waste.
Fair
you
enough.
Know what I'm saying? So
fair enough.
And so do we bring in a county waste representative and have him, like, as you know, from 30,000 feet up, or do we have Lamella, who's a ground level, you know, small business? I mean, there's a lot. So I'm not saying it's not a good idea, because I think it is. I just don't know how to navigate that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's hard.
I do not feel comfortable isolating one person to speak on behalf of the disposal or hauler industry. I think we need to go back through the agency and see who might be appropriate, and maybe open the floor and not screen somebody out. If Community Compost wants to come to the table, so be it.
Let me just finish by saying
I would not want to see that discussion turn into just the alternatives on disposal, because we really do need to still acknowledge this industry.
Right. Well, what I was going to suggest, if I may, let me just finish, that rather than try and cram them, if we can get something in this report, fine, but if not, in the report itself, say, you know, we need to have this discussion and set up something where we can do that, rather than try and get it here before June when we already have so much work to do.
And also, I believe you said you were going to convene a meeting with the haulers?
It may not be in the time frame that makes sense for this commission.
Yeah.
That's something that I plan on having as a regular, like either quarterly or, you know, just kind of a forum with the haulers to hear their concerns, their ideas.
Could you convene an initial meeting and ask if there are things that they want this reform committee to be aware of to include in a report?
Let me look at bandwidth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible, but there's other kind of more pressing priorities on my end than that, unfortunately. And again, I'm away until April after today, and so what if I'm convening a meeting in mid-April or late April? And I don't know, on a June deadline, can I just pivot real quick?
Yeah, well, what I was just going to offer is we can certainly, within this body, create a list of the haulers and at least send them a letter of inquiry and let them respond to us that way. At least then we can get feedback from them. They don't necessarily have to come to a specific meeting on a specific day, a specific time, but we can then incorporate that feedback into our report. it might be more conducive to do it that way.
The,
and then we're not limiting ourselves either. Yeah.
The Department of Health and the agency have those lists.
Okay.
Okay. And then they feel like they've been reached out to, which I think there's no downside to that.
No,
at all.
Agreed with that. Yep.
I'm just thinking of other stakeholders that you may want to, like the town transfer stations. Is there a, if you're talking about disposal, is there a conversation that this commission wants to have here? Like last week, I did meet with leadership from the DEC Region 3 and just clarified like what can, and when I say transfer stations, I mean, they're the municipal resource drop centers, right? But, you know, ask them very bluntly, like what can be taken in, what would need to happen to change commercial waste and
yeah,
other
we
things.
Had a lot of that discussion back during the diversion. No, no, I'm just saying, we've touched on it already, but I understood.
But there are points where it's not impossible, but you would need to, there's a lot of infrastructure improvements that would need to happen in order to take things in like commercial waste. They would be more permitted, like our transfer stations, it would need to be interior to a building, that kind of thing.
Right, because a lot of this would be infrastructure issues.
Right.
And yeah, we,
and staffing.
Okay. Yeah, and staffing, yeah.
And money.
Yeah, which I feel comfortable sort of speaking on behalf of the supervisors because we talked about these a lot at the association meetings. Admittedly, only about a half to at most two-thirds show up, but it still is
still a
group. So,
I like the letter approach. I think we should do it sooner rather than later, and I think we should encourage you know, written feedback, and then we should also note that we have these meetings on the calendar and that they can feel free to attend, you know, if they would like to. So I think that would be very helpful.
Okay. Given that there's only about 10 more minutes, do we want to just sort of, we'll start off the next meeting with the continuation of this disposal discussion of just sort of big vision topics of disposing differently than we're doing it now.
About the letter.
Yes.
Let's not leave here without someone saying, let's draft the letter.
I'll just, as the chair, I'll just do that.
Please
I'll get
do.
The letter drafted. I will work with our legislative assistant to try to identify who it goes to, and we'll figure out how to get it out to people. I don't want to give you more work, but if you can assist us in any way, we appreciate it.
And I can send you a list of the licensed haulers.
Perfect.
There we go.
There we go. That's huge.
Sort of off topic, but I just want to say Lizbeth has done a great job. I find all the materials now. The structure of the drive is so helpful. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. I just want to, we have a couple guests today other than Mark. Just either of you wish to speak today? Then thank you for being here.
Hi, my name's Peter Humphreys. I sat on the town board in Hurley for 40 years when COVID hit. Pat Ryan at the time, like we all know now, begged me to be able to keep the transfer station open because the garbage wasn't going to stop. At that point in time, as being a new person in office, I never knew that my first responsibilities were going to be working in our transfer station as a garbage man, which I did for months. I've worked on that project, remodeled it, brought down the waste. We were $41,000 in the red my first year in revenue, and when I left, we were over $400,000 positive in revenue because it was done properly, and we followed the rules, and we did what we needed to do. We regulated it. I found in the beginning when we really pushed people to separate the trash properly, we had a lot of feedback of not positive, but once people got involved, people would actually help each other. It caught on. It works. The thing, I could speak for a long time. Everybody knows that. I'm not going to. But if anybody ever wants to speak to me about the work I've done up there and the ideas, the things you're bringing up, I've already worked on. I've found options. I've found ways of doing this that are cost effective. That you actually, my big saying is, we spend, especially in government, my saying is, we step over dollars to pick up dimes. This is a crucial thing with our environment. This is not something that we, this stuff just needs to be done. And the idea of build, of burying this stuff and or doing whatever we're going to do, I'm old enough to remember the PCBs in the Hudson. Nobody knew about those at the time. Boom, boom, they come out. Now we have POFAs, we have all of that, and now we got microplastics that are in everything. If we really don't start figuring out a way to get rid of all waste over the course of time, you're going to have more things continue and continue to come up of, oh my God, we didn't think about that. Now that's in our water system. That's in our aquifers. This stuff is really what I've studied as far as putting the rest of my new direction in what I do. And I go to every single of the four or five committees of UCCA right now, every single one. And I think I can be a beneficial for any or all of you.
I just want to assure you that this commission actually spent like the first 3 months of our work solely on diversion. And this is really, what you're seeing right now, this conversation about disposal, is sort of the first time we're hitting the topic, because we've spent
so many
months just, we agree with you. I think everybody at this table strongly agrees.
Well, the idea with UCCA too is they've got to make enough money to survive. One of the way UCCA makes their money is by the poundage that they bring in, the poundage that gets brought to Seneca Meadows. And what we're talking about is bringing that down. So there's not like Manna says, we're taking those nasty trucks over 250 miles.
Yeah, you're talking to the choir here about that.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah, I mean, these things are all things that we need to not only look at the changes, but look into the future of what effects they're going to have. And you've got to like look ahead of everything that you're talking about doing.
Okay. Other gentlemen?
I'm Steve Eldon. I'm with the Kingston Wire. I just want to know at this point, is there a due date for your report?
So the current due date is 6 months after we were convened. Which is some point early in June. I don't have the exact date in front of me, but I, based on our discussion, I do suspect we may be asking the legislature potentially, and we have not discussed it yet as a body, but I'm anticipating that we'll be asking them for a brief extension to get this completed, to get the most thorough document to them, being aware that they have a contract in 2025 that they have to address. So being recognizing both our needs and their needs. So, yeah.
If I could just speak to that a little bit, and I understand if you need a small extension, but if the idea is to help shape this county contract, let's just go backwards. So the contract expires in March of 2025.
Mm-hmm.
The legislature does not have a January session because, again, it will be reorganizing in January. And something like this is not going to get taken up during a January. As the executive director of the agency, I'm not comfortable with approval of that contract in February. So then we're talking about the legislature passing this contract in December. This is going to be months-long negotiation because this is the first time this contract has come up in over 30 years. I don't anticipate another 30-year contract coming out of, you know, whatever we do. But, like, by July, August, a lot of the framework of this contract needs to be discussed between agency leadership and county leadership. Mm-hmm. And so I would just keep that in mind. I understand
absolutely
the small... And even if you had to do a report that had to do with some of these other issues and a report that was just recommendations for the contract, if there was a way to separate that, keeping that to a June-July timeline I think would be very helpful.
Agreed and understood. And that was always my goal. And as I said, we haven't discussed this as a body yet at in depth. We briefly touched on it. And you know, I plan to put it on our next agenda now that we have... I mean, we had a lot of conversation about diversion, but it was all really important conversations, so yes.
I think we're talking weeks, not months.
Yeah, I agree. And I also think nothing is going to preclude the legislature from starting these sure. discussions prior to our report. It's not they have to get our report. So
yes. In terms of, I just want to confirm our next meeting is...
That was my next great. Thing. So yes. our next two meetings we have set are April 4th at 9:30 and April 18th at 9:30. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks from today and 2 weeks after that. And then we will decide next month, or next meeting, if we think we need to increase the frequency of our meetings in order to you know, I plan to, as I had promised Mana Joe, I plan to bring to the next meeting, and I'll try to circulate it prior to the next meeting, is the beginnings of the diversion discussion, taking all the minutes and the notes. I certainly want everybody to have time to, but you'll at least be able to see the beginnings of our document in the formatting, and I want to get everybody's feedback on that. But I think all that can come offline. We don't have to take that up at a meeting, but my goal is to get that out to you by at least 2 or 3 days before that meeting. So
one thing on when we do intergovernmental, there are really three components. One is the contract, and the other is a resolution to expand the board that did not get acted upon but is still mm-hmm. a possibility. And then the third is the future of the RRA.
Right.
And that's, of course, a huge discussion, but as we're thinking about the contract or expanding the board, we need to have that basic conversation.
Right. Yeah, I'm hoping that, I certainly don't want to rush disposal, but I'm hoping that at the next meeting, you know, and Mark, thank you very much. And again, did not mean to put you on the spot, but appreciate the information you gave us because it's really helpful. I know we have Jim, but as the executive director, you can bring a different perspective.
Plus, if I may, let me just express my appreciation for Mark for being here, because I know you got a lot to do, and we asked you to do this too, and so thank you.
So our next two meetings, I'm hoping we can wrap up disposal hopefully at the next meeting, not to dismiss it, but I think we've covered it really well, and then move into the contract and everything else. So ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay. A second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Do you need me to sign mm-hmm. those two? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see everybody.
I don't have to give it to you while
no.
the meeting is going
Understood.
On.
Understood. Not a problem. Thank you again for all your help.
You're welcome.
I will get an agenda to you sooner rather than later, because now I think it's going to be the not just the sort of boilerplate stuff. Do you have the other one? Oh, no, we only did these two.
Yeah, I have the other one, but I still almost
not a problem. Would it be possible, only because I don't necessarily have the printing capability at home, could you print out, and I know I hate to waste the paper, but I'm wondering if you could print out a copy of the minutes for me, because when I'm writing the report, instead of bouncing back and forth between the written, I mean on my computer, it's going to be a lot easier if I have the minutes next to me as I'm starting to work on this report.
So when I give you, when I do the agenda, you want a copy of the minutes?
Yeah, but it, I mean, if you, what I'll do is I'll stop up and see you. I don't need it today, but I'll stop up and see if I can get a printed copy from you, rather than an email copy.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel right using the town's printer
mm-hmm.
for this, because it's not a town expense. And I don't want to, I don't have a good printer at home to be able to print all this stuff.
So which ones do you want?
If I can get the minutes of every meeting
of
so far. Okay. Yeah, because what I'm going to do is take my notes and the minutes and combine them
and
start writing the document.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's a lot easier if I'm writing the document on the computer and I have all the paper in front of me.
Do that now?
If you can.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. I have to go see Dennis Doyle so I can stop back before I leave in like a half an hour. an hour?
No, but I mean, reach out.
Is that 45 minutes?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, because I have a dentist appointment.